Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening to the show. We are live here on LA Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications. And tonight we have a very special guest. But first, Dr. Allen, we are live.
I'm glad, and I'm getting to do what I love to do, which is teach people how to love one another.
And you do. It's amazing. So tonight we have one of our very special guests that we like to have on, your student and protege, Dr. Patricia Eltinge. And she, of course, has the lovely book, The Dream Class. It's just a beautiful book. I know you have it, and I was lucky enough to get a copy from Patricia at Christmas time, and it's beautiful. It's on my bookshelf, prominently displayed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Patricia. Welcome to the show.
And great to be here with you, Kelly and Pat.
Hi. I want to correct something before somebody else does.
Uh-oh.
I heard Kelly describe you as Dr. Patricia Eltinge, and you are certified, and I want you to describe your certification.
Yes, thank you. Yes. I miss.
That's okay. I have been in the health field for many years, since 1980, as another health practitioner, but my certification now that I work off of is Transactional Analysis Practitioner. And thanks to Pat and the Juan Institute is where I developed my studies and my certification towards that, and furthered my continuing education and got deeper into the dream world. And that's where my passion is and how I'm able to help others through my expertise in the dream world.
So what, pray tell, is happening neurologically? Because the brain is the manufacturer, it's the computer for dreams. What is happening?
What is happening? Well, this is what's fascinating about dreams, is it's actually part of our system. Is they're called the glymphatic system, is where the brain is cleansing itself. And Pat has always referred to it as the paper shredding of your daily life. And what we are doing while we're sleeping, this only happens while we're sleeping, is this cleansing action. And when people don't get good sleep, the brain doesn't get to get rid of its toxins. And during that period, during this glymphatic system period, we are also collected data throughout the day in our lives, and we are categorizing it and storing it as memory and getting rid of the stuff that isn't necessary. So it's a very complex system, and this is when our dreams occur.
And so what are dreams? What is a nightmare, for example? Why do we have nightmares?
Oh, Pat, as you know, we don't call them nightmares anymore. We just call them scary images, because those images are there for us to bring us closer to our wounds. And that's where the personal growth is. So when we have scary images appear in our dreams that people call nightmares, then we're really starting to get to the messages that will help us in our personal growth and transformation.
What images tell the highest level of truth?
Well, the highest level of truth comes in the form of people. We have a hierarchy in our dreams of symbols that come in terms of people, nature, and things. Now, in the lowest rung of the ladder will be things. That's a table, a car, a thing, a dresser, a kit, you know. So the next level up would be nature, whether it be landscape, animals, water elements, trees. So it's nature images. And then we have people, and there are all the forms of people that have come and gone in our lives, and men and women, male and female. And then we come to the nuance of the masculine and the feminine, which, Pat, you talk about
a
lot.
Yeah, men have men bodies and women have women bodies. What's that got to do with, you know, conveying messages? How does dreaming about men and women impact us? What does it do?
Yes, well, when we're dreaming of male images, men, whether they're old men or baby boys, we are dreaming, all of us, male or female, of us, we are dreaming of our feminine, which is our feeling-centeredness, our feelings and our emotions come in terms of masculine image, male images. So when we're dreaming of women, whether it be a little girl or an old lady, those are that's our productivity. Those are images that represent our productivity, our thinking, our ideas, and that's our masculine side. So it's a paradox, and this is the interesting part of this work, is to understand the paradox and how the images are there for us to decipher and allow us to come forth with our soul comes through.
So when you wrote this wonderful coffee table book, it's beautiful, artistic, photographic, it's unusual. What is it you want people to get from this book, The Dream Class?
Thank you, Pat. Well, this is the culmination of so many years of work. It took me years, and thank you for recognizing that it looks nice, too. It actually is my 22 of my photographic dreamlike images, but I really made it understandable. I really want people to delve into their dream world, and this is sort of a back door to your psyche. This is a back door to getting into your stuff, and it's an easy way. You're sleeping anyway, so you might as well. Here's a takeaway: you might as well keep a pad and pen by the bed, and learn about how to capture your dreams, which is chapter 7, by the way. And learn how to capture the images to start with, and then people can learn to decipher how they are really perceiving their world around them and our world around us. We can all have how we think we are reacting off of our natural prejudices and ideas, but our psyche and our subconscious mind knows more than we think we know. And when you get into this dream work, we are really tapping into our own sixth sense.
Now, we know, do you get the book from same old, Amazon, whatever, whatever?
Amazon.com, and every 5-star review is appreciated. And I think I have at least 35-star reviews.
How do they get in touch with you, teacher?
Oh, yeah, thank you. They can get in touch with me by my website, which is thedreamclass.com. Or email me at dreams@thedreamclass.com. And people can find me on YouTube. I did an 8-week call-in live show this during this last pandemic period, I thought I'd do something extra constructive and had a live call-in show on YouTube. And it's archived, so you can tap into that through YouTube. And I think you just put in my name, Patricia Eltinge, or it also can be found under Veronica Lane Books, because my publisher produced the show. And I also do classes. People like to book me for their private groups and have a dream class for their own groups. I've done people's temple groups, their church groups, their golf clubs, their book clubs. So that's another way to get your friends and family, relatives interested in this wonderful, wonderful world of dreams.
And I want to sort of certify you are my, you have really demonstrated one of my skills, and you've taken it to new higher levels with the art and the spirituality of it. So please.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you, Pat.
If you're interested,
thank you for all your.
Okay. Do you have anything you need to say?
I need to say that I thank you for all these many years. I think it must be 27 years that you have inspired me and mentored me and had your nice little foot in my rear picking me along.
Okay. And I want to thank you for being on the show and expressing. I want to certify that you did a great job, so I hope people enjoy it and investigate it, okay?
And I'm here to serve on your behalf too, Pat.
Thank you, thank you. Okay?
Thank you.
Patricia.
Thank you, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. A pleasure to have you on. Everybody, that's Patricia Eltinge, The Dream Clash. You can find that at www.amazon.com. And you can find Patricia's website, thedreamclass.com. And her last name spelling, if you're looking for the YouTube videos, is Eltinge. Dr. Pat, are we ready to rock and roll and talk
We're
to you?
We're ready to rock and roll. Yeah, yeah. Although I really like that because I like doing dreams myself, but not especially. It's one of the categories I do, and she's binging on it beautifully.
Yeah.
To give those that want it something I give a little bit of.
Yeah, that's true. But you do special dream sessions. So we've got a caller with us live. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Ellen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Ellen. Hi, Kelly. How are you tonight?
Hi.
I have a question. I wanted to ask you about sending a where did you go text after a date and the criteria you have for that.
Oh, you want me to teach that tool?
Yes, please.
Okay. The tool, I teach communication tools. I'm a transactional analyst, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, making a living, at a doctor's office, being healthy, and in every single relationship, especially the ones that are loving, relatives, friends, whatever, okay? And so when you're dating someone, man or woman, and it's the beginning, and you're not quite sure, you have not negotiated longevity, continuity, exclusivity. You're not in a monogamous relationship called girlfriend, boyfriend, and you're not engaged and you're not married, although this tool can work with anybody, but it's particularly I designed, because I am a transactional analyst, for when you're dating someone, especially if you're a woman and you want to be cherished more than you want to be respected for your intelligence and your success, and you dated him and he said something like, golly, I had fun. This was great. I want to do it again next week. Now, if you notice, there's three signs of a not too good communicator: evasive, secretive, and abrupt. I want to do this next week is evasive. I want to do this. What are you doing on Saturday? Evasive, secretive. I want to do something again, period. Nothing particular. I want to do this again is specific. I want to do something next week is evasive and secretive. And if it's not spoken, this was fun, period. Abrupt. So here's my tool. When they say that, they're giving me the driven message to tell you that within a few days, say, for example, you saw him on a Saturday night and he said, golly, I had fun. I want to do this next week. Okay. Yep. Well, if you are organizing your date book, hopefully you're dating three men, three times each, to see if they have any chemistry, compatibility, communication. Anyway, if that happens and he doesn't call, like you dated him on Saturday night and he hasn't called and it's Wednesday, I give you permission to do the following. Hi, you said you had fun and I told you I had fun and you said that you'd like to do it, you want to do it this coming week. Where did you go?
Yeah.
So the criteria here is that he said something that said he was going to negotiate another date for next week.
Okay.
So if he doesn't call you or text you or email you, whatever form of communication, then I'm giving you like within a few days permission to give him a text of whatever it is about he said. Always go back to you said you liked it and you'd like to repeat. But where did you go? I haven't heard from you.
So
you can't do it if he didn't say it.
Right. He said it's been a week. We went out last Wednesday. And he said he had fun and wanted to do it again. But he did not say next week. So he may have
I understand that. That was part of the evasiveness and secretiveness,
yes,
and the abruptness. Within, I didn't say he was going to say, I'll call you next Wednesday. If he does that, you do not have to say this, where did you go? Because
right,
on Wednesday, if he doesn't call you, he isn't evasive. He rejected you.
Yeah.
He ghosted you.
Yes.
So I wouldn't call him at all.
He didn't say he would. He was evasive. But I'm getting from what you taught about the script that I don't think I'll call him or text him.
You wouldn't check up if he said I want to do it next week?
I would, but he didn't. He said, at the end of the date, I said, well, I had a really good time. And he said, me too. And I said, I'd love to do it again. And he said, yes, me
no,
too.
No, no, no. Did you say that?
Yes.
But that's making you the male.
Oh, because I said it first?
Yes. What you were doing was mothering him into doing what you wanted him to do.
Got it.
What I said to you was, this was fun. I'll call you next week. But that's too evasive for you to call and say, you know, where did you go?
Yeah.
But you can if he said, I had a good time. I'm going to do it again next week. Within a couple of days of that date, you would call and say, you said you would give me a call, you know, to set up a date this week.
Right.
So what he did was subtly got you to demonstrate your masculine leadership by saying, we had a good time. Where did you go? I miss you. I want you. I want to teach you how to be with me. Okay.
So I want to be cherished. So it sounds like I don't have any action to take at this point with him.
He wants to be cherished too.
Mm-hmm.
But the next time he says, I want to do this again, and you say, when? Got it?
Yes.
But you say it when he said it.
Right.
Then he has the option of saying, well, I don't know. And if he's a gentleman, he'll say, I'll call you by Tuesday.
Right.
He will be compete, conquer, and control the situation with leadership.
Yes. Yes. And I often end up taking a mothering role. So I don't want to do that.
Then do you have any other question on mothering?
I suppose my other question on mothering would be how to be better at catching myself at it and not doing it.
Make mistakes enough and have me tell you they're mistakes or they're not mistakes.
That I can do.
I know you can. And you can listen to this podcast. Is that what this is?
Yes, I'm listening to the radio, and I often go back and listen to your archive.
Okay, that's good, 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 good. So have you got what you came for?
I believe so. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be the best you can do today.
Thank you. That is reassuring. I appreciate it.
Good.
Thank you, caller.
Good luck. Happy hunting.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Thank you. Good night, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Our call-in number, 323-203-0815, so you can slip into that hot seat and ask your questions of Dr. Allen. Again, 323-203-0815. And while we're waiting for our next call, boom.
Hi.
Magic. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question. Ooh, caller. Oh, it looks like our caller bounced. Okay. So I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. And remind everyone, you can see our archives all the time. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Dr. Allen, I had something that I don't like in my relationship, but it's not illegal, unethical, and immoral, but it keeps, well, I keep causing problems with it because I've asked my boyfriend not to bring it up, but then he feels when I'm feeling not good about it, and then he wants me to tell me what's wrong, and then I tell him, and then we end up getting in an argument about it.
So what is it, what is the subject?
The subject is social media. He has that he's in a relationship, but he, and he said that he's going to post us one day, but he doesn't. And I told him, okay, well, then I...
he's going to post you as a couple? What is he going to post you as? I'm not that skilled at social media.
I just wanted... I told him that I...
But I'm great on the harpsichord.
Oh, really?
I'm going to make a statement. Mm-hmm. Age helps wine and cheese.
Okay. Well, I'm 45 and he's 27.
And I'm going to be 87 in September 21st. So I am making a joke out of my aging process. But it is a phenomenon. So with that in mind, you don't have to be perfect. And so go over your issue and we'll see what we can do communication wise.
Yeah. I guess I didn't, I hadn't been in a relationship before him in 7 years, and I didn't realize that I was going to want, you know, to have those sappy couple pictures. And when I did, you know, I mentioned that to him, and like I said, at one point he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna post." But at that point, we were also arguing again, and he was like, "Well,
but
what?"
Now what I'm hearing is you wanted him to do something for the couple and putting up a picture. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is wanting masculine or feminine?
It's masculine.
It's what?
It's masculine.
Okay. Did you want to be masculine with this human being?
I don't want to be masculine. The issue is when he starts to want to take pictures and that I know are only going to be of himself, I told him I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to do anything. But then he feels me get irritated and I try to like push past it and just keep going with our day. But then he's like, "What's wrong? Blah, blah, blah." And he just keeps going. And that's what happened yesterday.
So what I'm saying, he may be a pain addict.
Oh.
He may have
what?
Been raised on pain. Have you talked, have you heard him talk about his childhood?
Yeah, he didn't get along. He has a better relationship with his mom now, but he had his dad. And he gets along really good with his dad. But his mom, he had a lot of issues with. His mom was very masculine.
And so what do I and Freud think about the impact of a bad relationship for a man with his mother or father? Which is worse?
A mother.
Take a guess.
A mother. A mother is worse, yeah.
That's called an unresolved Electra complex.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a father and a daughter, it's an Oedipal complex. It's an emotional relationship that is grounded in painful feelings rather than pleasurable ones. So this man may have a taste for the chemistry called norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is no fun. See, dopamine is a neurotransmitter for fun. Mm-hmm. Gambling, money, any kind of money and any kind of sex issue loves to produce dopamine pleasure. Serotonin is a tranquilizer type situation that hopefully is produced while you sleep so that you can wake up and take on the day and basically dream away, work away the negatives from today and yesterday. And the last one is serotonin, that's the tranquilizer one. Norepinephrine is pain. It's in TA, it's called a kick me game. So I think he wants to make negative love because that's what he and his mother did.
Well, he does get very passive aggressive and it really irritates me when he does that. It's
I know that, dear, because you want him to make... Have you read the book Living with a Passive Aggressive Man by Scott Wetzler?
I don't know why I haven't, but I'm going to now. The only thing that... It's just that I end up, like, we argue, and then I end up feeling bad because I tell him I end up feeling like the crazy one when we argue, and I told him I don't want to argue.
I've got news for you. He feels wanted, loved, needed, because you indicate the power of his word and the power of his emotions on you. Do you understand what he's doing? He's playing kick me with you. It's a game.
But I don't like it. Like, we've been together 8 months, and it's like a back and forth thing, and it's really turning me off.
I know,
like,
that. Do you say to him, you have every right to do that, and it's uncomfortable for me, and if you continue, I won't be able to stay with you?
Do I say that to him? Okay, but do I say that to him when he wants me to tell him what's wrong, even though I've told him, look, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to keep going like that? Like,
no, or, it may be you may be at a party and across the table are two other, whatever. If mm-hmm. you want to bring it up at the time, that's called my stroke and stand. And you can read mm-hmm. about all my tools in the book, Man's World and a Woman's Universe. Now, in this particular maneuver, you're at a party and you don't want to confront him at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So the next day, or in the car on the way home, or whenever you want to say it, you make an appointment with him. Honey, I want to talk to you about something you did and I reacted to emotionally. Are you willing to listen and talk? He may say no, and you'll say, when do you think it would be convenient for you to hear me? Never. Now you have a choice of deciding if he's 51% valuable to you and you're going to keep him, because you can remember what you like him for on the bad days. Or you can say what I just said. You have a right to do that, even when I say it's uncomfortable for me when you do it. But I will stay with you as long as I can. But I may not be able to do well.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I was thinking about those words because you've helped me before, and I was today all day I didn't feel good, and I was trying to think of, like, I mean, he had just planned all these things with me, and I'm like, wow, like, why is it that I can't get past it at all? Like, it just
because
doesn't
he's
feel
playing
good.
Kick me. He wants to see how much impact his behavior has on you. And who do you suppose he did that with when he was younger?
His mom. But I thought I was the one that was, like, having a heart. Like, I was thinking I had the one with the issues.
No, you acted on it, and that's you mm-hmm. being a man, because you mm-hmm. want to train him not to do it.
Yeah.
The first thing in a stroke and stand, that one was call him and tell him the next day. If you mm-hmm. are alone and he does something, he plans a week of dates and then does something that triggers you into an emotional, remember, emotions are reactions to reality, not actions on reality.
So, okay.
If that's the case, the very first thing out of your respectful mouth is, darling, you have the right to say that. You have the right to do that. You have the right not to do what you said you were going to do. You had a right to be you, but I am uncomfortable with that behavior. So are you willing to work on not saying it or doing it? Yes or no? No, you're making too much out of this thing. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm telling you honestly, if it happens and you don't make an effort to have it not happen, I will stay as long as I can, but I know I can't do it forever.
Okay, so this happened yesterday, and I got mad because we're supposed to go back to his house, and then he said, do you want to spend the night? And I said, I don't know. Do you want me to? And he said, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, well, that seems like you don't want me to. So I ended up coming home.
Yes, but wait a minute. He asked you if you wanted to spend the night. That indicates he is playing a game with you, and he wanted to see if you'd punish him so he could be your victim.
No wonder I got angrier. I didn't understand why I got angrier, and I just told him to take me home because I didn't feel good. And so today you think that I should know what?
I'm telling you, every time you use stroke and stand, the first thing out of your mouth is to make him right for what he's doing to make you wrong.
Yes, I did say that to him. I said, you have the right to be yourself. You have the right to not want me to post me. And I said, but it makes me uncomfortable, and that's why I asked you not to bring it up. I said, you have other valuable things that you bring to the relationship that I want to stay for, but it makes
what
it really
he
difficult.
Said is, do you want to leave me and go home? And you said yes.
Well, because he acts like a girl, and he says he doesn't
Honey,
say what he
I got
wants,
news
and it's
for you.
Annoying to me.
When he acts like a girl, you act like a boy. That's
I
the
know.
Problem.
I know, and I am a recovering man, as you call it, and it's very irritating to me because I do not.
Then
want
I
to
want
be
you
masculine.
To know you'll enjoy your split up. Is he 51% valuable or isn't he?
He is. I don't want to argue.
I've got
with
news
him.
For you. Here's what you would say. You have every right to say, think, be, feel, or do whatever you're doing. And I'm uncomfortable with it. Are you willing to consider not doing it?
Yeah.
And then he says something like, do you want to stay? He didn't say, yes, he wanted to change. He said, do you want to stay? He threw the hatchet over to you.
Yeah.
And this is when you would say, am I done with him or am I not?
Right.
If you're not done with him, you say, yes, it's not a big deal to end. It's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. As I said, I can't promise that I can stay with these behaviors for long.
Yeah, and I think that's what I want to say to him.
Then would you please switch it to that statement, except, no, I don't want to be with you anymore. That night.
No, well, I didn't
you didn't
say
want
that
to end
anymore.
It. You punished him. That's mother. You can't punish a man. You can only leave him.
I see.
Women are in charge of no. Men are in charge of I want. I want to see how much I impact you. I'm going to say or do something that I agreed I wouldn't do. Or I'm going to say it and do it again to see what kind of arise. But I can promise you, if you don't react to what he's doing, he's going to know somebody else is coming to help you feel better.
Well, that might be what's going to happen because I'm really tired. Like, he gives me a lot of good stuff. And
so then tell me, Pat Allen, I'm ready to terminate him. He's kicking you into terminating him. Is that what you want?
Well, I don't want that, but it feels like that when I've asked him not to tell.
Honey, I want you to know that you're wired to be a man emotionally. Compete, conquer, and control. Don't be passive, patient, and vulnerable. Remember, compete, conquer, and control is male. Passive, patient, and vulnerable is female. You want to be in charge and you want to be respected.
Well, I don't.
So I have no problem with you dumping all your guys when they play games on you. But you might want to consider not doing that.
Okay.
Are you
I'll
willing
think
to
about
consider, unless you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer, are you willing to accept your guy who's been in training with his mother to play passive aggressive kick me games? It's your decision.
Right. I know.
So, what do you want to do this week?
Well, I'll see him today, and if I see him today, do I say, when would it be convenient to talk about what happened yesterday? Or do
only if you're willing to admit that you made a mistake when you went home. Do you want to come up and tell him that you made a mistake, or do you want to just go on and not make that mistake?
Well, I'll just go on because it seemed like he didn't want me there, and that's what made me react, you know? Cause
no, he didn't. He said, do you want to come and stay with me now that I've played the game? He's playing games with you. He wants to see how emotionally dependent you are on him that you put up with his games.
Oh, I'm not. I don't want to put up with his games either. No.
Well, then do you want to dump him when he plays games? Or do you want to say
I do. Because there's a lot of times where I'm going to have to, I've already noticed, I was going to ask you, if
you're going to have to learn this, you're going to have to learn this lesson again.
Well, I do want to stay until I learn everything I need to learn. But I told him I don't want to stay to where I'm being super disrespectful to you. I don't want to argue with you. I always try to be very kind about things.
Darling, you're saying you don't want to do those things, but you do them.
I know. I've been doing them more and more, and I'm not even like
that. That's because you're not getting what I'm saying. When you're mad, it's more punishing for you to accept him by saying, you have every right to do what you're doing, but I'm telling you, I don't know how long I can put up with it.
Okay, so today when I see him, you said either keep just go on with
the game? No, dear, you don't bring it up.
Okay.
You go on.
All right. Okay, I'll go on with it.
You understand you got one foot on the gas pedal and one foot on the brake.
Yeah.
Is he 51% valuable or isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, then talk like it.
Okay.
Will you do it?
Yes, I'll do that.
Good. Because that's what you say you want. You want to keep him until you don't want to keep him. But you can't punish him. You can't mother him.
Okay.
Raise your right hand.
Okay.
I promise.
I promise.
I promise.
I promise.
To respect my boyfriend.
To respect my boyfriend.
Even when he plays.
Even when he plays.
Kick me.
Kick me.
And I am tempted to punish him.
And I am tempted to punish him.
Furthermore.
Furthermore.
I promise.
I promise.
To get an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him.
To get an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him.
Unless I have to call the police, a doctor, mm-hmm. or a lawyer first.
Unless I have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer first.
Have you got that? See, he's stepping on your foot, and you're going, I don't like this, I don't like this, I want you to change.
Yeah.
And he's going, I'm not going to change. Do you want to stay or go? Oh, you want to go? Bye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it? Whereas I say, you have every right to do that. Are you willing to consider not doing it? Maybe.
Okay.
I promise I'll stay as long as I can, but I can't promise how long that is.
Okay. That sounds, I can live
Got
with that.
Got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck, Kel.
Welcome.
Thank you, Kel. Bye.
Okay. Well, we've got some more callers coming up. And I want to remind everybody, you have groups. Dr. Allen has some amazing groups going on. And if you're interested in getting involved in one of these groups, reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com. Get on the waiting list. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I sure do. My ex-fiance from almost two decades ago has reconnected with me again.
Yeah, he realized he made a mistake when he lost you.
Yes, indeed he has. However, the 5 months that he's been dating me just as friends, no sexual intercourse. He's also going through a divorce.
I understand that, but do you have chemistry for each other?
Yes, like 20 years has never gone by. we definitely
That's
have a
chemistry.
Lot of chemistry for each
People
other.
People think that chemistry goes away. It doesn't go
That's
away.
That's what I thought. It doesn't. Not at all.
All right, so what is your question
ago,
to me?
Yeah, so a few days ago I told him that because I'm developing feelings for him, it's torturous for me to be around him and all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got the divorce first, and he's got to deal with all that. So he said he understood, absolutely. Within 24 hours of me doing this quasi-breakup, or however you want to label it, he got sick. He went to the doctor.
I know it. Don't
they
do that?
See if it was COVID.
Boy, wait a minute. I want you to know the body. There's a great book, When the Body Says No, by Gabor Mate, M-A-T-E, umlaut. When people do things that goes up against their normal gaminess, their body breaks down and they puke, or they do things with their intestines that you don't want, they get sick. That's the body saying, bleh.
Yeah, the doctor said, nope, it's not COVID, it's a standard cold. And so I was wondering if it was related,
honey,
if by me breaking up, he got sick.
Honey, listen to what I'm saying. He got sick because he expressed the painful physical aspect of having to crawl back on his hands and knees. Do you know how sensitive men are?
I've just learned, poor guy. Wow.
How old a man is he?
He just turned 53.
I want you to know he's periandropause.
Yeah.
We go into perimenopause. your man is more feminine now than he was 20 years ago. And he's going back to you. He's going, there's a book, it's called The Male from 40 to 60. And it's about, I'm not telling you, you have to read it. I'm just telling you, here's what it says. 40 to 60 year old male, a guide for men and the women in their lives to see them through the crisis of the male middle years by Michael E. McGill, PhD.
Wow.
And guess what? How old are you, my little friend?
43.
You're 43. You're at perimenopause. It hasn't even shown up in symptomatic forms, maybe, but you are now aiming towards judgmental maleness. He is puking, basically, because he's feeling more.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him being like this 20 years ago. He was very alpha.
He's not, he hasn't been there. Honey, do you understand?
Poor guy.
I'm a scientist. Everything I teach, I can give a dissertation on. Everything.
Absolutely.
Everything for 50 years. I have said, well, if you read the book, the blah, blah, blah. And I don't take credit for creating anything except my doctoral dissertation. Androgynous, men or women or men. Semantic, 1, 2, 3, 4. Syntactical, black realignments. In fact, recently, the work that was done in the laboratories showed up in the Science magazine, and it was called The Neural Impact of Biotherapeutic. They were saying my title, but they didn't know me. I'm just a punky little therapist somewhere. So I want you to understand, science is the creation of God.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Intercourse is the one moment that human beings get to create human beings, which is the most godlike activity. More people die of mishandled sexuality than anything. Do you see?
Wow.
So when you told me a guy from 20 years ago, I see stacks of those. Men and women who did a stupid, man, I just want to screw her and that's it. 20 years later, he remembers he loved you, but he didn't want the responsibility of it. Marriage is not for men. Marriage is for women and kids. Men, when they marry, take on responsibilities. Women, when they marry, give up a lot of independence. So guess what we're going through in our human travels? Men becoming women and women becoming men, especially in their 50s and 60s, which is what this book is about.
Wow.
Now, my book, it's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe, plays to the fact that men like things, and very often they turn us into things, things to abuse, things to make love to, things to fight with. Do you see?
Yeah.
So, and women are designed to control, guess what? Oxygen.
Yep.
And what did we just go through with our pandemic thing? Oxygen. And what are we all fighting about? Whether to put the mask on or not. I want you to see what science looks like in pragmatic forms. So I want you to know that that man had an emotional experience that caused him to respond physically. Please don't laugh at him. Please don't be mad at him. Just let him do his thing. Now let's ask the question. Are you open?
Yes, that was part of the breakup, is we both decided once his divorce is complete, then he can call me immediately and ask me to be anything. His girlfriend again,
his
fiance,
girlfriend,
whatever he wants. Yeah, it's open. Yeah, it's
a
open
fiance forever. You don't ever have to get legally married.
Yeah.
Mating is the same contract without the document. Monogamy,
right.
Sexually and socially, continuity, regular pattern of talking or dating, and long-term, we're both agreed we don't want to legally marry. We don't want to have kids. We just want to be in a committed relationship. Yeah, we can be engaged. I don't approve of living together without being engaged. You play in house without signing the contract.
Right. I did have one other question. So every time I say no to him, he responds back with things like, I understand, I absolutely respect you very much. How do I change the language from the word respect to something more feminine? Like,
you don't.
Thank you for respecting
the fact
me,
that
but
he's talking, honey, femininity is feelings in your body. If he's talking to you, he's saying, I love you.
Yeah, I respect you very much. I respect you a ton. He just keeps saying
that.
Why does he keep saying he respects me?
Because he wants respect.
Yes, he's an extreme alpha. Absolutely. And I respect him more than I ever have.
I'm going to tell you something. You know I'm a transactional analyst.
Yes, which is why I asked that question. How do I change the language?
you don't change the language. I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
Eric Byrne was studying to be a psychoanalyst like Freud, right?
Yep.
Eric Byrne. And so he did 6 lectures to science groups, to therapy groups, and Sigmund Freud got mad because Sigmund Freud doesn't want to talk TA. That's a competitive creation. And Eric Byrne wrote a book at that time called Intuition. Have you awareness that men follow their intuition?
Yes.
And women follow their neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. I want to read something for the sake of this podcast. On page 64, I underscored the other day. Now, I've had this book for years. It was written, you know, I'm ancient and these books are older than I am. Listen to what this says. It is interesting to note that, in general, women seem to be more aware of and to place more value consciously on the latent communication. Latent means it is syntactical, not semantics. It's not observable. It's abstract. They're more apt to be aware of being influenced to a greater degree by a man's mood. He got sick. And or tone of voice than by what he says. He said,
wow.
Do you want to come? Do you want to stay? And you went, no. When you did want to stay, many men prefer to think that they are primarily influenced by the manifest communication of, you want to stay? When the truth of the matter is, he said it all to me with my neurotransmitters, that he always did want you to stay, but he hadn't learned how to do that. And so you now are thinking, this person, Eric Byrne, didn't know that I was coming. This book was written 3 or 4 years before I came into TA. And I have written the book for women. But Eric Byrne wrote for intuition. So would you please stop telling your man to speak feminine?
Yeah, I definitely haven't said anything to him yet. I was just reading his words and listening to him, and I would just say, okay, I would just take it all in. I never corrected him, but I was curious.
His abstract behavior was to ask you if you were going to stay.
Yeah.
The fact that he asked you is love.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. He's a great person.
So, okay, would you do that then? If he gets his divorce, are you willing to see his behavior as feeling-centered? Because he doesn't know how to do it better.
Exactly. Yep. I'm completely open-minded, open-hearted. When that time comes, I told him he's got an open door to reach out to me and let me know that he's got divorce papers.
Congratulations.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. We've got some more calls. Our Ronan, who's wonderful at the switchboard, is going to get us connected with those. Until then, I will remind you all that we have a free video at www.drpatallen.com. And you can go there, you can watch it for free, and it is amazing. Again, www.drpatallen.com. to see that free video. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
What?
Hi. Hi. So I have been dated by two men over the past month, and I had a very weird and uncomfortable situation with one of them. We were starting to talk, and he started hammering me with questions in a way that made me feel
that's
very
called
comfortable.
Interviewing you.
Yes, yes. It felt like
I like men to interview you.
Oh, okay.
You're considering getting married, are you?
Yes.
He's interviewing you to know who you are.
Yeah. I was happy that
reason,
he wanted to know. Okay.
Are you wanting to be evasive, secretive, and abrupt?
No, not at all. I want to be an open book, but I felt
do you want to
like
be receptive, available,
yes,
and respecting? What did you
yes,
think
yes,
he
yes.
was doing when he was asking questions?
I thought he was interviewing me, but it felt uncomfortable because
what?
It felt like question after question after question. And like
what's
there was
with that?
Judgment attached.
You can say, no, you were setting your standard. Did he talk to you for 2 hours, 5 hours?
Yes.
How long?
Two hours.
Did you say, I really appreciate you interviewing me, but I'm getting uncomfortable, and I thought I wanted to have fun on this date. Do you want to have fun, or do you want to interview me some more?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I wanted to ask you what I could have done because I just got so
You could have spoken Alan. Like a female. How do females speak?
With vulnerability and with feelings.
They speak with passivity. They do what mm-hmm. he wants. Raise your right hand. I promise.
Okay. I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the man I'm chemically attracted to.
To respect the man I'm chemically attracted to.
Even when I think I'm smarter.
Even when I think I'm smarter.
I promise.
I promise.
To not teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him.
To not teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him.
Unless I have made an appointment for his convenience.
Unless I have made an appointment at his convenience.
Unless I have to call the police.
Unless I have to call the police.
A medical doctor.
A medical doctor.
Or a lawyer to sue him.
Or a lawyer to sue him.
I will let him know when I'm uncomfortable, but I'll do it respectfully.
I'll let him know when I'm uncomfortable, and I'll do it respectfully.
And that those are the tools.
Yeah.
You have every right to ask me questions. I'm enjoying it, except I'm not enjoying it now. Are you willing to stop interviewing me, at least for today?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't set a boundary.
No, I didn't. I told him that I was starting to feel a little uncomfortable. And
okay, but you didn't say...
He got defensive.
I know he got defensive. He felt disrespected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See? Now, did you literally not want to answer his questions, or were you being evasive, secretive, and abrupt?
No, I don't think I was being any of that. I felt uncomfortable, and I was nervous, and I did a really bad job. He hasn't called
me.
What
do you mean you did a bad job?
I mean, I think I showed how nervous and uncomfortable I was. And I think it was a turnoff for him.
I got it. He didn't. He knew you didn't trust him.
Yeah.
Was there a reason you didn't trust him? Have you had bad experiences?
I felt like he had a. It was coming from a place of judgment. So I didn't feel comfortable sharing and being open with him.
Honey, I want to guarantee that it came from judgment.
Okay.
He was competing with your male, conquering your male, and controlling your male. And the more you resisted, the more he knew you wanted respect. Not cherishing.
Huh.
Throw the worst lines at me, please.
I was telling him that I'm spiritual and not religious. And then he asked me, where did you get that from? And then I felt like judgment. And so I was like, I don't feel like I got it from anywhere. It was just something that feels natural to me. And it was maybe a tone of voice. And then I was like, I love that you want to ask me questions, but I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Well, why would you feel that way? Do you have anything to hide? No, I don't.
Do
it's not
see
that
what
I want to hide anything.
He's going after your evasiveness, your secretiveness, and your abruptness. Boy, is he smart. What would Pat Allen tell you to say to a man that said, where did you get your, what did he ask you?
Where did I get my spirituality from? Like, why not religion?
My parents.
Oh.
My parents. My family. I was raised Catholic, whatever. You would have answered it in two words.
I am being evasive.
You thought you were being evasive?
I didn't until just now.
Well, that's what you got from this call.
Yeah.
What did your dad do that scared you so much?
I don't think anything. My dad was super mild-mannered, so I am thrown off when men
so
are...
So your dad was, wait a minute,
forceful.
That tells me your dad was a feminine man, and your mom is the one that showed you how to be evasive, secretive, and abrupt.
Yeah, quite possibly.
But that's male, and this guy is very male.
Very, very, very.
He can't be with a woman who's male. You can't be with a man who is male. You're too much the same.
Oh, okay.
So would you be willing, are you going out on another date with him, maybe?
I would love to, but I haven't heard from him.
How long has it been?
Since Sunday. Oh, Monday.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
Even when he calls every day?
That means he's gone. What?
Okay. Even when he had been calling me every day before that?
I want to see if he'll call you within 8 weeks.
Okay.
The questions he's asking you were so significant and serious, I think he was chemically attracted to you. What do you think?
Okay. Yes, I do think that.
And he couldn't understand why a man would be living in a woman's body.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you want to send him a text?
Yes.
Then what you're doing is an amends. What?
I said, I feel nervous about it, but I want to open the door of communication.
Okay. So what you would say to him is, blank, blank, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. I want to admit that my respect for you scared me into being evasive, secretive, and abrupt.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for the experience. Have we written a true statement or not?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you comfortable sending it?
I mean, I feel really nervous.
That's called pride.
Yes.
Okay. You're not skilled talking female.
No.
Well, female talk is more feeling-centered, abstract. Do you see?
Yeah.
And if you're turned off by him, you say no to him. I don't want to date you. I'm not comfortable with you. I have no problem with you not wanting him, but being evasive, secretive, and abrupt is gamey. Read the message, please.
Dear XYZ, I want to admit that my respect for you scared me into being evasive, secretive, and abrupt. Thank you for the experience.
Do you still feel okay to send it?
Yeah, I do.
All right, then send it. We didn't ask to date him. We didn't chase him. We didn't do anything. We made an amends for what your mother taught you.
Yeah.
There's a time to be male and there's a time to be female.
Yeah. Could I add in, I've been thinking about our last conversation and I want to admit that my respect for you. Just
what
so it doesn't seem super out of the blue. Can I add in the beginning of that text, like, I've been thinking about our last conversation and I want to admit that my respect for you scared me, XYZ.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's fine. That's a lead in.
Okay.
It doesn't change the context.
Okay.
It said you were thinking about him. Is that masculine or feminine?
I think it's feminine. It's feeling centered.
Yeah, it is. It's feeling centered. That's right. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. Can I ask one more question?
Go ahead.
How do you have a good way of breaking up with someone? Because the other person
Absolutely.
That's recording me. Okay, thanks.
It's the hi bye letter.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Have you got the structure of the hi bye letter?
I have it somewhere, but I don't have it handy.
Okay. The first paragraph is everything you did like about him.
Okay.
The second paragraph is the pain of not having enough chemistry.
Ah. Okay.
The third paragraph, I don't want to use you or lead you on.
Okay.
So I want you to know I'm going to be dating other people.
Oof. Okay.
Are you in a committed relationship with him?
No. But we've been acting like it.
Okay, then just put down, I want to date other people.
Okay.
You're being totally honest with him. Is this accurate or not? And the last paragraph is, thank you for reading this message. And
okay.
I hope your life is wonderful.
Aww. I love that.
How do you feel about this hi bye letter? And you can use words
good.
That you use. What?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I do kind of still want to be a friend. I don't know if I should suggest
Honey,
that.
Lovers can't be friends till they're lovers with new people.
Okay.
He does not want to be a space filler.
No.
That's using him.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, totally got it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Take care.
You too. All right. We've got some more calls waiting for us. And our wonderful Ronan at LA Talk Radio is going to get them for us. And let me see here. Dr. Allen, like I was saying earlier, does groups get on the waiting list at info@drpatallen.com via email and secure your place in one of our upcoming groups. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi, hi.
I am a recovering, I like to say, I have a lot of testosterone. I'm 44 years old and strictly alpha male. And recently, as I've read your book over the years, I make a conscious effort to become more feminine, which is something I have to practice daily. Recently, yes, it's a struggle. But
and by the by, I want to make a statement. I have nothing against men wanting to be cherished or women wanting to be respected. This is a personal choice that we make based on scripts, based on chemistry, based on problems, whatever. But I don't want anyone to think everybody with a vagina is a woman. There are more men today that are feminine than ever before. And I have nothing against women that want to be respected, married to men that want to be cherished. That's my dissertation for today. Go ahead.
So I can honestly say that now that I'm becoming more, I'm behaving more in a feminine manner, I like how it feels. I like to feel cherished. I mean, because I, you know, as an alpha female, especially in a work environment, I mean, that's one thing. But I feel like I feel supported and loved, and I love the feeling. I love it, so I'm happy for that. So moving forward,
very good.
I reconnected with an acquaintance who I met maybe almost 30 years ago, and just someone that knew from the neighborhood. Very, very nice guy. You can tell we had chemistry. He was a little older than I was, but nothing ever came of it. He was just a friend I would talk to about guys and all sorts of stuff and careers and what should I do in college. Fast forward maybe
friends.
10 years later. We were friends. So fast forward maybe 10 years later when I realized that, God, he was such a nice guy. Like, and here it is. I've always thought about him like, that would have been a guy I should have dated when I was talking to him about guys.
Why don't you, do you know, have you tracked him?
Well, I did. So sometime shortly thereafter, I ran into him maybe almost 20 years ago. And I ran into him and he had a baby in his arm and another. So he had married. And I remember thinking to myself, and I spoke, he told me where he worked. And I thought to myself, okay, I lost him, but he's still a nice guy. He seemed to be happily married. So since I found out he was married, I have reconnected. I've seen him maybe 3 or 4 times. Like I stopped by his place of work because I was in the area.
Him personally or personally. Not? In a group? How have you connected?
In a group. Like just I stopped by his because his office is near where.
Have you talked familiarly?
Yes. What happened was. Yes. So. I went by just randomly, hadn't stopped by him in 7 years, and I thought about him because of COVID. He's in healthcare. So I stopped in just to check on him, and I'm like, hey, and he's like, oh, come on back, and we hug, reconnect, like, say good old times, when we see each other. So I'm asking him, like, how's the family? Because he seemed to be really happily married, 3 beautiful children, and he says, the children are doing great. He's telling the children are doing great, and then he looks at me, he goes, I'm divorced. So
Oh, my God.
So instantly I'm thinking, oh my God, this is perfect. He goes, I know you had a daughter. How is she? And I said, and he assumed I had gotten married. And I said, she's doing great. We don't live too far from here. And I went on to tell him, I said, as a matter of fact, because by this time I realized he's not married, no longer married. I said, as a matter of fact, this is my weekend with her. I'm going to pick her up when I leave here from school. And he was like,
that's
okay.
That's wonderful. He says, feminine talk. Yes. That's feminine talk.
So he says, well, you didn't marry? I said, no. He goes, well, how's the father? Is the father enough? I said, you know, now, mind you, the father, not, he's a great co-parent. He co-parents the best of his ability. My daughter's safe with him. She loves him. And we are done, completely done. And so I said, you know what? She has a great dad. I was like, he's there. You know, he doesn't live too far from us. So that way, you know, she can see her father. That doesn't feel like we're separated. Although she lives in 2 separate homes. She splits time between the two. It doesn't really feel that way.
I know. You're still family.
we're family. And that's what I explained. I said, you know, and of course we have our, and what I was trying to really let him know was that there's no drama there too. Like, oh, it's all good.
I understand so we're talking, that. Talking. So did you make any hookup?
Yes. So he asked, so he said, so we talked for a while. Then I said, hey, why don't, you know, I know it's getting busy. So let's check in later. He sent me a text, gave me his number. I didn't, and I was like, okay, I got it. He responded and said, you know, you look really good. Like, you're taking good care of yourself. And I do look really well for my age.
Good.
So I do exercise the whole nine. So his response
was. That's feminine.
Yes. So his response was, so I did it. And I says, oh, you haven't changed schedule like nowadays. And so he goes, oh, you know, I'm helping my mom a couple of days a week. And I go, oh, you know what? Same here. Part of the sandwich generation myself. I go, we'll talk more about that when I see you. This is when I'm free. So I said, I'm available. And it was the weekend my daughter wasn't with me. I was like, I'm available Friday into Sunday. So he goes, okay, well, how about Saturday? I said, perfect. So he says, okay, we'll touch bases midweek and set up a time. So we did. We talked. We caught up. But he invited me to his home. Now, he's been divorced. The separation
has been 4 years. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Well, because we have a lot of strong chemistry, like a lot. And we've always had
news for you. Therefore, you can demonstrate strong spiritual morality.
Okay.
Just because you're in his house doesn't mean his penis has to be in your body.
Oh, Dr. Pat, that was, so here's what ended up happening. So he goes, well, you want to come over? Maybe we can order something to eat. Maybe we can just kind of, and I'm thinking to myself, like, really? You know, like, I can't. And so I did.
I have no problem with any of it, except if you're an addict and you can't do it.
We are so attracted to each other.
Are you a sex addict?
No, I wouldn't say that because I haven't had sex in a couple years. So
all right.
I enjoy it,
so
though.
You didn't have sex with him. Did you go to his house?
No. So we ended up going to our little restaurant by the beach. We walked on the beach. We talked. We talked about his marriage. He told me, you know, how he was.
Why did you say no to him?
Well, I said, listen, I want to see you out because we both were talking about we like to be outside. And I said, oh, well, let's, because we like to do things in nature. I said, well, let's go to the beach. Let's go for a walk. I didn't.
Wait,
I thought
that.
Is that
masculine or feminine?
I don't know, Dr. Pat. I was just thinking more. I kind of felt like, and this is why I felt that if I go to his house, it was going to be in a situation. And
darling,
it was like going to turn into.
What you were doing is getting ready for rape.
Okay.
Have you been raped by a man?
No.
Then what is the foundation for your fear of this friend that's come back and asked you to come to his house?
I guess because I thought, because I'm looking at it like, oh, this is someone I want to get to know more than friends, and
but
I don't
listen
want
to
start
me,
like
listen
that.
To me. You said, how about we go down to the beach? You took over and acted like mama.
Got it.
He said, come to my house. Now, if you didn't know him for years, if your instincts didn't tell you you were in danger, what you did is you tore his balls off.
Ooh. Got it. Okay. So that's good to know. So now we went to the beach. He was very receptive. He called. I mean, it was perfect. So we had a good time. When I got ready to leave, while at dinner, he asked me, we were just talking. He's like, so what do you, he said, you know, now, because of course he had to buy a new house. You know, he had to do all that to finalize the divorce stuff in COVID. And he's been working throughout the entire time. And he says, well, what are you into now? Because we're just casual. And I'm like, he's like, do you think you'd be ready for a relationship now? And I said, yeah, because I am. I'm ready. Like, I want someone.
You know
someone.
What? He interviewed you for a relationship.
And so
dear
this is what
God,
he said.
That's wonderful.
But this is what he told me. He said, well, right
what?
Now, and he said it twice. Right now, I'm just, he said, I'm just kind of, you know, this is new. I've been married for over 20 years, and I just kind of be to myself at home. And if I want to go on a date, I go on a date. If not, you know.
What he's saying is I'm not up for commitment. And what you're going to say is I have no problem with that.
So what I said was, you know, you have every right to not want to. I'm sure it's, you know, difficult coming out of a marriage for 20 years. But if I want commitment with him, then
but you can't ask for it. All you can say is, I don't require a commitment to be friends.
Okay.
So if you want, I'm available. See, you went and took it to the sex scene. That's what made me think you got raped by some idiot.
Okay. Well, here's what happened. So,
what happened?
So afterwards, when we left, so that was kind of, we left, he brought me home, he got out the car, he's a perfect gentleman. And he, what did he do? And he hugged me, and obviously he was aroused.
What's wrong with hugging you?
Nothing, but he was, and so then he tried to come upstairs to my house. And so I just said, I laughed. I said, no, you're not coming upstairs. You know, we laughed about
that. What you said was, I am not ready to be that intimate.
Right, because I don't want to be intimate with someone who's not ready for a commitment. So, like, I guess my question is, should I still
I'm telling you, I approve of what you said.
Okay.
You talked about being friends and not being lovers. And you stopped him from acting like a potential lover.
Okay.
I don't see you did anything, but did you convey to him that you were dateable?
I think I did. I think so.
Then we've got 8 weeks to find out.
Okay.
When did this occasion happen?
This happened 2 weeks ago. We've spoken maybe 5 or 6 times since. We've had some couple of lengthy conversations.
Has he asked you for any social event?
He has not asked me out again.
Did you reinforce the idea of not risking dating him without sex?
I did not. What I did say, he flirted with me a little bit and I flirted back, like, you know, but other than that, nothing. It's been, he was very clear. I really enjoyed the conversation with you, but no, we talked like we talked 30 years ago. We had a couple of lengthy conversations last week.
That. Then are you willing to wait until he risks being with you alone in physical terms? He is talking to you in safe terms. He's afraid of the sexual encounter.
He is? Okay.
Yes, dear. Oh. But I don't think you have a reason to be afraid of rape.
No, I'm not afraid of that.
Are you willing not to push him for dates?
Yes, I think that's the best thing. That's why I'm asking you.
And you were willing to walk with him, you're willing to movies with him, or you're willing to eat with him, but you're not willing to have him in your home, you see, until you're comfortable. So stand by that.
And what I say by comfortable, it's not so much. And should I just tell him that? Like, if I, you know, we're actually, that there's an attraction between us. I'm not comfortable being, or should I just not say anything in a space where something could happen? I mean, I'm going to enjoy it. I think we both want it. I just, I know.
I want you to say nothing about what you can enjoy. I want him to see that you enjoy whatever he designs. And right now he's talking to you on the phone. Is that what he's doing?
Yes. Or we might text. Yeah. Phone and text.
Then please feel free to be friends on the phone. But if at some point he says anything like walk on the beach, tell him, I'd love to do that. But he's got to bring it up.
Okay. So, and if he asked me to come by his house, I can go over there. My friends were like, no,
you can go,
he's going to turn you into a booty
call. Honey, you can go there. You've talked to him. You've set the standard. You're a virtuous woman, and that's that.
Okay.
All right? So
and
don't treat him. He's a shy guy that's afraid he's going to be molested by you.
Okay.
I don't know why he got divorced.
Well, you know, he messed up. He said that they just didn't communicate. They ran their families well. This, you know, they took care of all of that, but they didn't.
I understand
that. They did
that,
not nurture the marriage.
But what I want you to know is you're not comfortable being intimate socially too soon. But he is courting you with his calls. Make sure he knows that you enjoy socializing, not necessarily sexualizing.
So how do I say that? Just by my, with my body language, or just let him know that that's, I'm not ready for that? Or
what you do is invite him upstairs. Come on over for a cup of tea.
Okay.
When you're comfortable.
Okay.
But don't be sexual. Be affectionate socially.
Be affectionate socially. But when he starts to put his moves on me, obviously that's when I'll kind of back away and just go and tell
him I'm not
comfortable.
What you say is, I will not be sexual until I'm in a committed relationship. And I agree with you. If you're not ready, I'm not ready.
Oh, Dr. Pat?
Yes.
Okay. So now,
All right. What
is a, now do you think, okay, so they're usually, I know my friends, and I'm just curious, just based on your experience, men who've been married a long time, they typically remarry, do you think?
Of course they do. But the problem is that women have a tendency as they mature to become men and court and chase men. Don't chase him. Befriend
him.
Don't
chase him. Befriend him and continue. So don't reach out to him. Let him reach out to me and just be very enjoyable.
That's right.
And light and...
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Got
good.
It.
Good.
Thank you so much,
got
Dr. Pat.
It. You're
Thanks.
Welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, Connor. Okay. I believe we've got more calls, and let me just reach out to our switchboard and confirm that.
What's that?
Yes. So we have more calls. Yes, we do. And he's going to get us one right now. Hi, Paula, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Without
well,
calls,
Pat,
we wouldn't be here.
I'm so glad you're here. So I want to know how to gracefully end a date, and how long do you think I should stay on a date if I'm not enjoying myself?
I would think that an hour and a half is probably the outside edge.
Wow, that sounds long.
How long did you want to do?
Well, I had a phone call with a guy today, and I don't know if you consider a phone call a date, but I...
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But that date starts when you get to the restaurant, or he picks you up and you're in the car. There's a lot of time in a date, especially a physical date, where you're not doing anything except being.
Well,
what kind of date are you asking about?
No, it was just a phone call. So
I'm changing the venue. He calls you.
He called me, we were talking, and previously I would talk to guys for 45 minutes and then I'd feel exhausted afterwards. So
I want you to understand it's quite okay for you to tell him how much time you have for the phone call, even if you don't have anything.
Right. I sometimes say that up front. I just have a few minutes or 5 minutes.
I want you to have an egg timer. Egg timers are 3 minutes.
Okay.
Do you want a 3-minute date? And how can you tell if you haven't talked to him before? What is your biggest test call? 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes sounds great.
Okay. Now, if it's a boring 5 minutes, will he get 3 minutes if he calls again? You give him 3 dates.
Okay, perfect. That sounds good because, yeah, I've dreaded some of these. You say to continue to go out with them 3 times, but sometimes the first time is painful.
Wait a minute. No. I want you, if a man calls you and he's a decent human being, I want you to duty date him for 3 times to see if any chemistry is triggered.
Yes, I'm doing that. And I just wanted to, like, not... I'm struggling to do that. But I just don't want
to
feel like...
Are you talking to me about phone dates?
Yeah, because the date I had today was a phone date. And it was after 11 minutes, because it was kind of abrupt and maybe...
Wait a minute. 11 minutes is a real date on the phone.
Yeah, that's how it feels when I'm talking to these guys.
Then
the first time
I want you to understand 5 minutes is a normal phone date.
Okay, so I should tell every guy in advance I just have 5 minutes.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Okay.
You say, so more feminine wise, if it's a brand new date, it's 3 minutes.
Okay.
And that's an egg timer.
Okay.
Then you might give him 5 minutes. And then the third date, you feel the chemistry or you don't.
Okay. Good, because I feel like ending dates, I'm really not doing a good job there. I went on a date, an in-person date with a guy. He took me out to tea, and I really liked him. I felt very attracted to him. And at the same time, I ended the date kind of abruptly. And
what for?
I don't feel like.
What for?
I sensed that he might not have been attracted to me, and I was just struggling.
Wait a minute. That's you being negative.
I was, but we were together for an hour. And it just, I just felt kind of like, drain, like, you know, an hour.
Honey,
feels like
how can you tell before you be with somebody new whether you have chemistry? I give you 3 dates to decide you have chemistry.
Well, the guy I met in person, I liked and felt chemistry with him, but I still ended the date.
But he may not. Listen, you were reading his date chemistry, not yours.
True.
He had
yeah.
the problem of dumping you. Did he dump you?
No, he didn't.
What for?
I.
Why did you reject him when you liked him?
I was feeling insecure.
But insecure looks like you didn't like him.
Well, I sensed that he was telling me, and his parting words to me were, I was telling him how much, like, he was asking me about tango because I danced tango, and I told him it's a man's world in tango because there's so many women for every man. And then his parting words to me as we were leaving was, I'm going to check out tango. So my sense was that he wasn't.
But
all
do
that
you
attractive.
Understand? Do you understand that at the time he said, I'm going to study tango with me.
What happened?
With me. Would you have said, with me?
Oh, I didn't say that. It didn't occur. I just felt like I was feeling insecure, like he wasn't.
Honey, listen, your insecurity looks like rejection. Why don't you let him figure out how to dump you?
Okay. Well, he texted me like 2 hours after the date and said it was interesting meeting me.
Did you send back the message?
I said, thank you. I enjoyed meeting you.
That's sending back the message that you were available. When did that happen?
2 days ago.
Okay. Would you be so kind as to get off your negativity?
I'm trying, Dr. Pat.
Well, then why don't you keep your mouth shut so he can tell that you don't like yourself?
Okay, I'm keeping my mouth shut is surprisingly challenging when I'm on a date, which is weird.
You know why? Because you want
person.
To drive him away. Do you? Did your father think you were ugly?
Yes, and I have an older brother who repeatedly was, very abusive with me.
Therefore, would you be so kind as to give men a standard of what you're willing? A date is like if you're going to dinner, an hour and a half, a phone call, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. But would you please not do it because you think they don't like you?
Okay. He was just asking me lots of questions and I felt like I was...
Honey, that's what men do when they're interested in women.
Yeah, but I was...
Answer the questions.
I did. I answered them all, but I did my best to answer them all, but I also felt like he was asking me, what do I think about things a lot? Like, the guys will ask me...
And did you answer him by telling him what you felt instead of what you think? That's all I ask you to do. What do you think about this and that? Well, I feel comfortable with that. Oh, I don't like that.
Okay, well, one thing he asked me was... He said he's new to dating. What advice would I give him? And I said, and then I went on for, and this is where I could not, I just wanted to shut up, but I couldn't stop myself. I was explaining why I don't give advice to men because I don't want to mother them. I don't want to be their therapist.
I got news for you. I think you did fine.
Okay.
You told him, I don't want to mother you.
Yeah, I said, well, yeah, I don't. He's in AA and I'm in Al-Anon, so I said part of my Al-Anon program is I don't give advice. I'm like,
you know what? I think that's absolutely wonderful, sharing what you are, who you are. See, you don't like you, but I like you. He liked you.
Yeah, he was nice, but I was very attracted.
Would you please, not service them by cutting your throat?
Ooh.
I know you don't like me, so I'm gonna ruin this.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Mind your own business. He will dump you when he wants to, and you can dump him when you want to.
Okay.
But do it respectfully.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't clear. Like, should I wait for him to end it or should I end it?
I want you to date him three times. Three phone calls, three times.
Okay.
Unless he does something that makes you tempted to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer.
No, that wouldn't happen with this guy.
Then why are you dumping him?
I was just feeling insecure and stressed.
No, you were feeling unworthy.
Yes,
you were so secure, you rejected him. Unworthy.
Yeah. Yes, true.
Would you please not do that for a week?
Okay. Do you have any recommendations on how to increase my sense of worthiness?
By not ending things before you want to end them.
Okay.
And with that, I'm going to... Okay. As we are out of time, Dr. Allen,
you have to say
before we go.
Yes?
What do you have to say before we go, Doc?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
True that. Thank you all so much for being here with us tonight. We love you, and we'll be back next week. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.